Most gracious Heavenly Father, it has been so beautiful to sing of the life of Jesus, His ministry, why He came to this earth, the understanding that You, Father, would send Your Son to pay the price for our sins. May we learn from the message, may the words that come from me today, Father, be Your words that strengthen in us the knowledge and understanding what it means for Your Son to have given up His life for all of us. Father, we thank and praise You for that gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is the first Sunday in Lent, and a season really where we prepare our hearts, if you will, for understanding of our own sinful nature. And the difference that we have between our Sunday services and our Wednesday nights, because Wednesday nights we're doing services now at 7 o'clock. Invite you to come out to those if you haven't. We do soup supper at 6 o'clock beforehand, some time of fellowship before that. Having an interesting series that Pastor Tom Shercock and I are going on, as I mentioned, looking at the inanimate objects that were part of the Passion and really what they symbolize. This last week we covered the water basin that Pilate washed his hands in, and how that symbolized compromise. You know, Pilate thought he was washing his hands of Jesus' death, but because he had the power to do something about it and didn't, he was just as guilty. And now sin is the same way. But the difference between Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings are, Wednesday nights we focus on Lent and of our sin and our sorrow, and it's a somber time. But Sundays don't change. We always preach a risen Savior. We'll always continue to preach a risen Savior. So what we're going to do during these Sundays now, as the Lent is upon us, I want to look at the book of Luke. In Luke's Gospel, starting at 9:51, and for the next 10 chapters, Luke focuses on Jesus' journey to Jerusalem for that last time. And so for these next weeks in Lent, we're going to study then Luke's Gospel as he follows Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem. And as I was preparing the message for this Sunday, I was tempted to do something, but I thought it would take a little bit too long. And if you're denying that it would, I have a feeling you're not being honest. I thought about handing everybody a few sheets of paper with a pen with it for you to write down all the things in your life that you have started to do and not finished. Any kind of hobby or any kind of something that piqued your interest in, oh, I want to do that. And the ones you didn't finish. Then I figured we'd be here for a really long time. And our wrists would get really sore. And I got thinking about it. You know, imagine some things that you know, maybe some of us have tried in our lives. Maybe you had this idea one time of writing a novel. I'm going to write a book. And eventually you find some time on a weekend afternoon, and you're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start my novel. Here we go. And you're super excited, and you sit down, and you're motivated, and your fingers are just flowing on the keyboard, and this beautiful artistry is coming out of you. And after about 15 minutes of this just amazing writing, you're like, I deserve a coffee break. But you get up, and you get a coffee break, and you finish up with that reward for all your great work. And then you sit back down, and you spend about 10 more minutes. You're not quite as into it as you were. You got a little distracted, so you need to get up and refocus yourself. So you get up for a little bit. Then eventually you refocus, and you come back down, and about 5 minutes later of writing, you realize you're hungry. Then you stop writing, and then you go back, and you realize for the last hour you've written maybe a half a page. And you stop because writing is a lot of work, and that's a big hill to climb, and you're not interested in doing it anymore. Or what about a musical instrument? How many times have you been inspired by somebody doing a musical instrument and a great musical piece? I mean, we see Gail up here ripping on the harmonica like you wouldn't believe, and you can't tell me. You don't get excited about that, and you think, I want to do that. And then you remember you got like a B in fifth grade music class, so clearly you are the next gifted musician. And so in your excitement, you tell your spouse, I think it's time that I start playing some musical instrument. And they kind of roll their eyes, and you go out and you buy one of these things, and the next couple nights, maybe you're practicing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and that gets boring. And so then you think, you know what, this is the amateur stuff. I'm gonna dive into it and be a pro. I'm going to try something like Handel's Messiah. And you get about two notes into it, and you butcher it all up, and you realize this is really tough. And you give up because it's just too hard. Any of these ringing a bell at all? My favorite, actually, and this is a true example, I had a coworker who went and bought, she and her husband bought a very expensive piece of exercise equipment on January 1st, because we all do that. Well, I want to get healthier this year. And on the last day of January, 30-day return policy with a couple hours left in the return policy, they returned their exercise equipment and went and bought a TV with it. At least they were honest. You know, these examples were almost too easy to write, to come up with. And I was reflecting on myself all too much. So don't feel bad about it if any of these called you out, because we're kind of all that way. We have these great intentions, and we dive into it with all the zeal, and then it gets too hard, and it loses its luster, and the zeal kind of goes away, and I don't want to have to do that, and so it never comes to fruition. And that's fine. That's our nature. Things get hard, and we have a tendency to maybe just to pack it in. But isn't it great that we have a Savior that did come to fulfill his mission? That we have a Savior that put upon the same flesh that we have that says, oh, that's too much work, I don't want to have to do that, and we give up on it. The same Savior who put this flesh on that tells us to quit, who knew what his outcome would be, who knew his outcome would be death on a cross, and yet he persevered and endured because this is why he was sent. Please rise for the reading of our sermon text this morning. And it's a short text, but it says a lot. Luke 9:51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That is our sermon text today. You may be seated. I told you, it was short. But yet, it's interesting because such a short little sermon text is everything the Old Testament was prophesying about and is everything the New Testament talks about. Jesus setting his face to Jerusalem because this is why Jesus came to this earth. This is why he came on his mission to save sinful creation of their sins and the condemnation that they were due because of his great mercy and forgiveness. I mean, you think about it, the first prophecy goes all the way back to God himself in Genesis 3:15. Sin had now entered the world. Adam and Eve had sinned. And what does God do in Genesis 3:15? He says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy of Christ. God's plan for Jesus. And if you remember the Old Testament reading, that's a section in Isaiah known as the suffering servant. That is God talking about this prophecy, about what it meant that Christ was going to come to this earth to take the afflictions of the world upon himself. These prophecies, these are why Christ came. And so our sermon text is really the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy. It goes back to an Old Testament idiom, which actually when you'd say you set your face to something means to resolve. So when Luke says he set his face to Jerusalem, Luke wasn't just writing about, yeah, this happens to be his final journey or anything. No, he is making clear here, Jesus setting his face to Jerusalem, meaning he is now starting that journey to resolve what he was sent to do. I look at our epistle reading today, further depth about all of this, about what Jesus' mission was. Because you can kind of wonder, why did Jesus come to this earth? I mean, what was the meaning behind all of this? In Romans 3:23 through 25, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, everybody, every one of us. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. So Christ came to this earth to die for our sins. Now a lot of us here know that. That's why we would call ourselves Christians. That's why we're here. We identify that. We've placed our faith in Christ. But you have to understand, we can't hear this message enough. I mean, stop and think about this message. We are sinful, deserve condemnation, and God said, I love you so much, I'm going to save you from that. So we come every Sunday to hear that. Because we should always remember this message, because honestly, if we don't make it a priority to remember these messages, our own nature kicks in and we pursue after our own desires. I found it very interesting. I talked about this on Wednesday night. In Numbers 15, God had actually instructed Moses to tell the Israelites to attach a tassel to every corner of their garment and put a little blue cord in that tassel as a reminder of his commandments. So as you see these tassels dangling from your clothes, you remember his commandments because God said, otherwise we are prone to chase after our own desires. So God was even implementing this object that we could see every single day to remind us of his commandments because he knows we have a tendency to forget and chase after our own desires. It's our nature to go against God. I mean, think about this. If I said today, why don't we all attach tassels to our clothes every day? We'd probably laugh and think that sounds silly. But if God said that as a way to remember his commandments because you chase after your own desires, why wouldn't you? But it's our nature that does that. Well, I don't want to have to do that. We don't want to be accountable. We want to do our own thing. So that's why we need a Savior. Through his blood we are justified. And what that means then is this price that was paid. You know, every pastor, I think it's an obligation that we have to at least once mention the word propitiation and explain it. Because it's not a word we use every day in the English language. But it means to make atonement for. It means to make us right with God, to give us a right standing with God. And so Christ had to come for that very purpose, that we could have a right standing before God. So the fact that Jesus set his face to Jerusalem, what this meant now is that perfect sacrifice was on the beginning of his journey to fulfill what he had been sent to do. So while it was a short, simple little text, there's so much depth and meaning to that. Because he had to come down. Our earthly sacrificial system wasn't working. We were supposed to offer up sacrifices for blood. The problem is we did it with insincere hearts. We had broken priests offering up these sacrifices. It wasn't working. But God said, here's the plan. Here is the perfect lamb and his blood paying the price for all those sins. So when you read that verse from now on, he set his face to Jerusalem, understand the intentionality of that verse. Jesus was now beginning what he was sent to do. And what does this mean for all of us then? I think what we can take from this then is we ourselves need to follow through on the fact that we are disciples of Christ. And if he can follow out his plan he was sent to do, then we need to be following the plans that we were sent to do. And I'll be covering this in our future sermons for the next few weeks because Jesus really focused on that. In these 10 chapters in this part of Luke on his journey to Jerusalem, it starts off with him really performing a lot of miracles and helping people see that he is sent of God. The next part then really covers his teaching on what it means to be a disciple. And lastly then in that section of Luke, we see him battling with those that refuse to hear his message. But I want to focus on for these next few weeks what it means for us to be a disciple of Christ. Because this is something that we need to be committed to for the rest of our lives. This is something that, you know, we can put aside and get inspired by a harmonica, try it a couple times and think this isn't for me and let it gather dust in the closet. That's fine. But our Christian life can't be just sitting there gathering dust in the closet. We have to constantly be seeing this through. So I came up with just a few things. No particular order. There's a lot more that'll be added to it. Of things that we need to remain committed to in our lifetime as a disciple of Christ. First and foremost, just being faithful to God. This is putting God first above all other things. If you're ever on Facebook, there was a meme that was going around. For those that don't know who still call it the Facebook, a meme is a picture, and usually it's got some kind of a saying attached to it. There's one that was going around, and I saw a lot of people post it. It would be like a small little log cabin in the woods, some real remote area, and it said, would you live here for 1 month, isolated from society for $100,000? I'd do it for free. That'd be great. And I bring that up because I think right now the biggest thing that takes us away from God is busyness. We have too much that we're doing. And I don't even know how much of it's all that relevant, but we're doing it anyway. And I'm just as guilty as all of us. We get caught up in being caught up in being caught up. I mean, I can't even describe how much stuff we add on to ourselves. And so imagine going to like this little remote cabin with nothing but your Bible and prayer for a month. I guarantee your relationship with God would change in ways that you couldn't imagine. Because right now we're too busy to spend that kind of deep time with the Lord. We get so caught up in the busyness that we're forgetting about the most important thing in our life. The most important thing in our life is not our watch, it's not time, it's not our obligations. It should be God and our relationship with Him. Imagine taking the time to be able to spend just hours in prayer and reading His Word. It would just transform us. Other things that we are called to be committed to for our lifetime: resisting temptation and living as transformed. We know this, we hear about this, not to give in to our sinful desires because it's for our own destruction. But we have to resist the world's teachings of morals and values because it follows its own pattern. How we follow an absolute, which is God's Word. Resist the temptation to tell you what the world tells you. We need to be committed to following Christ at all costs. And what this means is, are we willing to put aside all the things that we love to do? It doesn't mean we are called to, but are you willing to? You know, this is a small little example, and I'll explain more as I get on, but for this Lent season, people like to give stuff up. I'm giving up sugar for Lent. And actually, I'm going to expand that now to salty snacks. Because my point is, we are always in pursuit of self-pleasure. And you see, sugary snacks and salty snacks are designed to trigger a pleasure response in the brain. And I found myself always going for these because of that little rush that it gives you. That little rush of self-pleasure that we get. And so while snacks aren't a bad thing, what the problem is, I was realizing that I was seeking gratification from worldly things more than I was from fulfillment in Christ. And I'm just kind of noticing, just even these last few days, how many times you want to just grab some Skittles. And this is the time of year for jelly beans, and I love jelly beans. And I haven't had any yet, and I'm going crazy. But it reminds me, am I going that crazy for the Word of God? Do I sit there and say, oh, I haven't spent time with the Word of God for a while? No, but I crave jelly beans. And so I'm trying to put this stuff aside to recognize, why is it that I'm seeking after worldly pleasures more than things of God? And this isn't to say that we can't enjoy worldly pleasures. Listen, God gave us this world and some amazing gifts on it to be enjoyed. It's the point that I'm making here is, are we delighting in God as much as we are in our own pleasures? Things that we're called to be committed to for the rest of our lives. Spreading the gospel message. This is as good of a time as any to do it. It's Easter. And especially because the world looks at Easter now as bunnies and jelly beans. And we're sitting here knowing it has nothing to do with bunnies and jelly beans. I still don't even know how bunnies came into play in all of this. But the point is, it is. Bunnies and jelly beans is how the world looks at it, and we know that's not the case. What a great time to tell the world, actually, this is what Easter means. And to share with them the fact that Christ came for a purpose. That was to save us from our sins. What a great message that would be to share. How can we not want to share that? How can that not be a message people want to hear? God loves you. Which ties right into the last part, loving and serving others, the commitment that we should have to do that. You know, you think about it, and Luke's message was very intentional on this. Luke was very intentional to talk about how Jesus came and how the gospel message was for everyone. This was in a time where if you were a male, you had value, and really most other people were secondary citizens, if even that. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along with this gospel message for the broken and the outcasts and those that were considered unimportant by society, and he tells them, you have value and God loves you. Talk about a well-received message. We should be that way with the outcasts. Imagine people that are rejected by society and looked down upon. How amazing it would be to hear that the Creator of the universe loves you. That should always be our desire. From now until the very end, that should be our commitment. I could keep going on with this list, but at some point in time, you guys get frustrated when things go long because it cuts into fellowship time, and I know that. But we'll be covering these for the next few weeks, the cost of discipleship and what it means to be a disciple, because Jesus teaches so much on this as we follow his journey to Jerusalem. This is a mission that I'm never going to stop preaching about, and we should never stop wanting to hear about, because it's what we are created for. We've been created to do good works through Christ. The Spirit is at work in us, drawing us to be more like Christ with that process of sanctification. So I want to put it out there, friends, not to give up. Don't give up. Don't get tired. Don't grow weary on the mission that you've been put forward to, that God has called you here and why he's put you here and the work that he has you doing. just because you have some exercise equipment from 20 years ago that's got dust on it that thick doesn't mean your spiritual life has to be that way. Instead, let your spiritual life be defined like Christ, who set his face to Jerusalem to accomplish, to resolve what he came to do. Let's set our faces to heaven so we can accomplish what we've been sent to do. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you have done some amazing things. Things that we can't even begin to recognize how great they are. The fact that you sent your Son, who remained faithful and true to you, Father, through the very ends. Because of that, our sins are forgiven. Death has been defeated. We look forward to that eternity with you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit to live our lives with our faces set on heaven, that our hope that is in you may be fulfilled. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. One of the amazing things that Christ did while here on this earth